In this section, we look at an opportunity that people often miss, to partner with customers.
Often when you're working within a customer environment, you see yourself through your own self-image as offering a particular or specific service. Now, when you do that, you do what I call put on a mask. You play a role. The customer sees you as being there to deliver X, so you deliver X, and that's all you do. However, often you can see an awful lot more going on within the customer's business where you have at least experience and knowledge where you can identify potential issues for them. And it might be that you can assist them with those issues. But because we perceive ourselves as a supplier, not as a partner, we tend not to open our minds and think about those things. And even if we do, we don't say to the customer, I see you have an issue over in this area, potentially. Do you mind if I explain to you what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just by making those observations, we can expand the services that we deliver to the customer, definitely to our advantage, but also to the customer's advantage. And what I say to consultants who work for me is if you see a problem in a customer environment and you don't identify that to the customer, you're actually doing them a disservice. You're letting them stub their toes at some point when you could have helped them avoid it. And to me, that's irresponsible.
Mm-hmm. And so when you say partnering with your customers, it begins, I guess, with the very first mindset, to use the issue number three, which is to think through that it is okay to talk about this or to raise the issue. But then I would suspect that the partnering with the customer has to do with it, the structure of how this would be accomplished. There are lots of different ways to do that, and may or may not involve dollars or fees, because the benefits, you know, there are ways to define benefits in many, many different ways. Is that sort of what you're suggesting?
Yeah, the major benefit you achieve as a supplier, if you're not actually delivering a service as a result of these observations, is credibility with the customer.
Mm-hmm.
You're no longer just delivering a service on a focused thing that they've asked for. You're expressing concern for the health and welfare of them and their business.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're a partner.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were to identify locations they can go to for solutions where there's no benefit to you, then you're just consolidating that position with them as a real partner.
Mm-hmm. Well, how would you go about setting up these sorts of partnerships and structures that you're taking about? What we've got, look at the clock here, we've got maybe about four minutes left. How do you counsel people to go do this? What do you do first? What's most important, and timeline sort of thing?
Well, the most important thing, of course, is that you need to understand that when you're going to go into one of these relationships, it's a trusting relationship. It is a partnership. And so you've got to respect that. You've got to respect all the players. After that, the next thing is to consider, how can I figure out what kind of things I can offer to people? And you hit a couple of problems. One is that if you're trying to figure it in your own office, thinking of somebody else you might partner with, it's very, very difficult to figure out what's in their heads and what's in their markets, etc. So you have to go out and talk to these people. The next thing you find is that if you're talking to people about something you might do or might do together, when it's a one-on-one thing, or two people together, it becomes a negotiation. Any two people talking to each other are, by definition, negotiating. Because they're bringing their own experiences, expectations, etc. to the table, and their own scope of thinking, their own blinkers. Now, if you bring a third person into the equation, you can become a lot more exploratory. So if you've got three totally different businesses sat around a table saying, what can we do? What do we each do in the marketplace? What do our customer bases look like? Then you may find somebody saying, well, I think I could do this. And somebody else will say, well, no, I don't think you can do that, but you could do this. And the creativity starts popping up.
Mm-hmm.
See people from thinking around down tunnels.
I think that's a fascinating idea. I was sitting here thinking about, it's the magic of the stool that, you know, a three-legged stool is by definition different than a two-legged stool, and you can't, it's more stable physically than a two-legged stool, but you can't take one of the legs away or it just won't work.
Right. Absolutely true.
And I'm assuming that the three entities can be whoever makes sense, but probably is the customer, the ourselves, and then whoever the other partner might be.
Well, in running workshops like this once in a while, what we've actually found is we put really strange relationships together. If we try and predict who might work with whom, we find out we get it wrong all the time. If we put a whole bunch of businesses together in a room and say, right, you three go talk to each other, and they've got nothing to do with each other's industries, then what we find is after a few minutes, they get really animated because they're suddenly thinking totally differently about what their businesses are, what their customers do, what might be of interest to them, etc., instead of, again, down that channeled view that we normally live with. It's incredible how dynamic it gets. And in fact, we find we can't claw these people apart. Seeing so many opportunities that you can't stop them.
And these were sort of situations, you said, seminars that you do. Is that the setting?
Yeah, workshops.
And did people choose to, I mean, obviously they chose to be there in the first place. So I would assume that if either they chose to be there or somebody told them they would be there, that maybe some of the barriers come down a little bit with respect to that.
Yeah. So the invitations go out, and whoever turns up, and we're not trying to manage that.
Mm-hmm. So when you're saying it's sort of the magic of three, and it's about trust, but I also hear that it's a little bit about perhaps taking a risk as well.
Oh, yeah. Once you come out of that meeting, if you go through it this way, you're going to be walking away from a room with some idea of something you can do with somebody. It's a seed. It's a thought. It's a spark in the back of your mind. You need to explore that. But one then happens when you decide you're going to work together is, whoops, wait a minute, what if this goes wrong? So you do need to look at the downside. You need to figure out what the risks are and get control over those. Not hide from them. Not say no because there's a risk, but just figure out, is that risk controllable? And if so, how can I bound it?
And I would think that some of the art is to identify, you know, you could be overly risk-averse and nothing could happen as well. So that's part of, I assume the art is figuring out where it is. But if it's based on trust, well, maybe that's everything.
Yeah. And it would also require that you do feel comfortable taking a little risk. Then there's a bunch of action that needs to take place, of course. There's no point agreeing you can work together unless you actually have some specific actions to take place. So you need to identify what does the target customer base look like.
Mm-hmm.
Not in detail. Just quickly get an understanding between you of who these people are. Then identify the three-way win. It's critical to do that and to understand the customer win. That's the most important.
Right.
And then select a campaign. And a date to start.
Thank you very much for joining us. I hope the information we've just given you helps boost your business. For more about three-way win partnering, please visit www.bdq.com.